December 1st, 2021, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Archie seems to be the one who's gone furthest in directing his own, in the direction of his own style. But if you listen to Archie 3 or 4 years ago with Cecil Taylor, he was playing those up and down triad things that, you know, that really one of your trademarks. But maybe you don't want, maybe, you know, you'd rather not think about that. So.
No, you know, because, like, it's a big reservoir, man, that we all dip out of. So, you know, and I... Like, you never, a lot of times you'll find that a lot of those things, I'd listen to John Gilmore kind of closely before I made Chasing the Train, too. So some of those things on there are really direct influences of listening to this cat, you see? But then I don't know who he'd been listening to, so it's
right.
It's
right. Fun, so you know? It is a reservoir, yeah. Yeah.
One of a housing estate caretaker's first weekly starting points is to inspect the estate's rubbish chutes for blockages. After the weekend, if you enter the bin room at the bottom of the block and your paladin bin is empty, you probably got a blockage to deal with. Chutes become blocked up easily. Someone will try to stuff in something that is too big, and the next thing you know, it's a garbage gridlock situation. This can be solved by trying to poke the source of the blockage with a long pole or by pouring buckets of water down the chute to try to flush it all out. One must be very careful not to stand at the bottom of an open chute, especially while moving the bins around. If something gets dropped from the 10th floor and cracks you on your head, then expect to have a headache, to say the least. I learned my lesson one day when a plastic bag filled with human shit whistled past my nose and landed all over my feet. It goes without saying that a good pair of high-legged steel-toe cap boots are essential on the job. It's also worth having a look into the bins themselves, as all kinds of things end up in the liquid be of interest. From rare antiques and comic books that have been cleared out, to unwanted pets such as dogs, cats, rabbits, hamsters, and goldfish, and even the occasional newborn baby. You never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to find.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Started off John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky about being music being a big reservoir. November 1966. Then we had Leavell featuring John Amplis, The Bins. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got all the way from England, Leavell. Welcome aboard, Brother Leavell.
Thanks for having me back, Mike. It's great to talk to you, man.
Yeah. Now, music-wise, you got some kind of bad news.
Yes, yes. It's kind of the end of a mission, basically.
Well, how'd this mission begin? Is this the one where I gave you that bass for that benefit, for that club?
Yes, it is, Mike. You totally inspired a tangent where we had the Black Heart going through some troubles in the middle of everything being locked down. The Black Heart's an awesome live venue in Camden in London. And you kindly donated some riffs to a track that me and an old friend of mine called Ben Edwards, we kind of put the rest of it together. Off of the back of that, we thought, right, let's try and played this song for real in the Black Heart. And we got there, you know, we did that. We put a band together of my old school friends, basically. We had never played together in a band as a unit. And the guitarist, Greg, he'd never, ever played a show before. But it's kind of crazy because he was the first person to be a musician out of all of our social circle. The first stuff I ever recorded was on his equipment. He lent it to me. But he never played a show and he never got it going. So it was good to get him up there and do some stuff, man.
I know what you're talking about. Old buddy of mine, well, we lost him 10 years ago, but this guy I knew the longest from coming from Virginia to California, and he had all these guitars and had never done a gig. And I got him to do some recording just to do. I took him on a couple tours just to sling shirts so he could. He had never left California. It's trippy about that. Some stuff. You know what I mean? People are in different places. And, yeah, you just want to get somebody on board. So if I could have helped not only that pad, the Black Heart pad, but also get you guys musically, then that's a good thing.
Definitely, man. Definitely. It was a real cool thing through the summer. None of us had really seen each other even in life up until that point, you know, you're kind of off doing different things. And it was great to, as kind of a bit of normality was returning to things.
Oh, that's a scary word. You mean healthier.
Yeah, sorry, I hate normality.
I'm always thinking of like 1933 Nuremberg, you know. What's normal for that? No, it's my problem, sorry, Leo.
But, we got to the, we ended up, the Black Heart survived, and we got to play a show on November, just at the start of November, and, you know, did the stuff. But the commitment of kind of doing a band was you know, it's hard. And for one of the guys, he wanted to kind of not continue. So we all thought, no, that's cool. You know, we've kind of, you know, we've learnt these songs. We've gone out and played them. We've done the Black Heart. Greg's had his first gig. So it was kind of mission accomplished, and there's no hard feelings.
Well, like Mr. Poe said, quote the Raven.
Nevermore.
So it ends up being a one gig band. But you know what?
Yeah.
But maybe that's the way it was meant to be.
I like it. I think that's kind of romantic, you know?
Absolute. Absolute. It wasn't like just treading water or, you know, getting out the rubber stamp Xerox machine. It was like, well, this is like a mayfly. Right? They get one day. Mayfly gets one day.
It's like, right, job done now. Right.
Yeah, they get up. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they pile up by the light poles and stuff because in their body there's billions of them and shit. Look, you gave me this something you did with another thing with John Amplis, American Caretaker in London. Let me play this.
Yes.
I am an American caretaker in London.
Trust and anger, it's just icing on the cake. Police state violence is a clear evidence of their lack of creativity and their democratic failure. How can we drift so far? This is a brother, witches. Love and besos. Love and kisses. The fix is in. Backstabbers.
Gather around, my friends.
Riunitevi, amici.
Let me tell you about a woman. Some say she was an angel who appeared like a rainbow.
Lasciate che vi racconti di una donna. Qualcuno dice fosse un angelo che appariva come un arcobaleno.
Others say she was a devil who moved like a shadow.
Altri dicono fosse un diavolo che si muoveva come un'ombra.
Pistols around her waist, a shotgun on her shoulder, and a rose between her teeth. Her eyes are sad and as deep as the ocean, but inside her beats a heart full of love. She walks like a man, dances like a child. For the revolution, she will sacrifice her body, leave her things behind, but she'll never throw away her philosophical mind. Lively Gantes will sing the song of liberation in building tones, like a nightingale with a silver tongue in a heart of shining gold. Like a woman, and she fights all wrong. Where men are weak, La Brigantessa is strong. She strikes her foe beneath the knees to watch him fall. Picks him up again to make him straight, to make him tall. Justice for us all. I love her with all of my might and stand beside her ready to fight.
Mike. When I buy my mansion, I invite the world to stay, so everyone can see a picture of Dorian Gray.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Yeah.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Leavell featuring John Amplis, American Caretaker in London. And brand new from Billions of Comrades out of Belgium, Our Hours, and I was asked to put some spiel on the end of that. So Watt collabs with some Belgians. Bass brother Arnaud. Another collab I did with Sam Locke Ward here in Iowa City. Iowa, not here in Pedro. Well, I was in Pedro, but see, the internet people, we don't have to use it just for spreading lies and hate. We can actually trade files. Like, I couldn't have been able to help the Blackheart there, Camden, without, you know, getting the file over through the pipeline. So interesting. This, the fix is in. Then Tafalco off his brand new 5-song EP. I'm on a couple tunes, but I'm not on this one, I don't think. Maybe I am. La Brigantessa, Tafalco. I love that man. Most Italian musicians on this. And I think he recorded it in Vienna. Yeah, because of the situation. You're right, Olivo. It dictates different circumstance. But, you know, we got a project here in Pedro called the Lemonade Man. This guy was a boss down on a, what is he, union guy, you know, but so not a boss, but that way boss. And longshoring, right? And he was bumming on the situation. I said, look, it rains lemons, make lemonade. So I got him to get a project together with other longshoremen, and sure enough, this is going to be coming out. So sometimes. Okay, Salva, brand new from her, Constellation of Data. Helvetia, brand new from them, Jumper. Evil House Party, Wicked, brand new. Kevlar Bikini out of Croatia, these cats, I think came out today. Failing as an adult. Listen up, people. Then Thug with a Boy, I think out of Ohio. The Catherines, this compilation, a boy who liked to paint rainbows. I think it's a tribute to England band, TV Personalities. They used to make funny songs, right? I know where Sid Barrett lives and shit like that. Yeah, some of them were pretty good. The Part-Time Punks, right? That was their tune. Pogo in front of the mirror and shit. Only when Mum's not home.
I know my mum had a couple of those 7-inches.
Is that right? But there's a line in there, right? We pogo in front of the mirror, but only when mum's not home. But we got $5 to go and see the Clash. So, yeah, they were funny cats. Then finally, the last part, Bronze UFO. These cats, 4 volumes of this Lagoon Monster rubber mask. Maybe one for each wave, right? This COVID-19. Be No brand new after that, MWFL. Probably an acronym because there's no vowels. And finally, Leavell in the Driller Killers, Caretaker. Enlighten me. Driller Killers? Do I know about this?
Oh, no, it's actually Diller Killers, Mike.
Oh, I'm reading it wrong. Shit, I'm sorry.
There's no
R there, people. That's pilot air. Don't blame the fucking airplane.
No, it's the venue when we did the gig as well on the first poster they put out. I think it said the Driller Killers. And I had to.
We're talking about Cafe Odo.
Yes. This was at the Black Heart.
Oh, that one. Because we actually shared a stage. Actually, it's a deck at Cafe Odo.
Yes. Yes.
But you didn't have a unit. That was you. So okay,
that was just me. Me and a mobile phone on that night.
Right. Man alone. Well, with the phone. Alone with the phone. But this one you're talking about was the benefit. Okay. The Diller Killers. That was the name of the band. Okay.
Yeah, it was because Greg couldn't spell. And back in the days of the Video Nasties, he got a hold of a copy of Driller Killer, but he'd spelt it Diller Killer.
We had a great comedian lady named Phyllis Diller, so.
Yes.
Remember her?
More rhymes than her.
Yeah, remember her? She was, had a trippy way of talking. She's kind of a persona more than anything else. We're at the end of the first hour, Brother Leavell. December 1st, 2021. Dishwap Pedro Show. Hold tight, 5-2. December 1, 2021, second hour of the Love for Pete Rose Show.
Thank you. going on a holiday, I don't need that store.
Watt for Pedro show started off the second hour. Legal. Piss Takers. Then we had Scotch Rolex featuring Chrisman doing Chesa. Yeah, the brother Shige, he lived in England a while, originally from Japan, but now he lives in Berlin, and he went to Uganda to do some collabs with some electronic musicians there, and that's the result.
Wow.
And he calls himself Scotch Rolex. Sometimes he's DJ Scotch Egg, right, when he was in England. And this cat used a Game Boy to get the 8-bit rocking sounds, you know. Then Al Margolis, he was just on the show a couple episodes again. Beautiful man. I just did a big improv for him. December alto trumpet. I thought for December 1, why not do December alto trumpet, unless that's deck, which is a Latin, right, for a tenth. Yeah, but, you know, we misunderstand decimate. Decimate means that somebody fucked up, so 9 of the 10 guys have to kill one guy who gets a short straw. It doesn't mean everybody's dead. It's only 1 out of 10, right, decimate. But you know how words are. It's how they're used. Yeah. Right? Like jumbo shrimp. What the fuck's that? And finally, Leevil with Spice Taker, which to me seems like the other side. They were together, right?
Yes, they were.
Explain. Enlighten us, please, Brother Leevil.
Well, everything on that record, the record was called The Thunder Taker. So, and I had already had a track called Caretaker. And then I realised I had a track called Spice Taker. And then we added Piss Takers in there too. There was just something about taking the piss, basically.
Right, which is kind of a... Over here, we would think you were like filling up a bucket of piss. But in England, people, it's kind of a shorthand for having satire, being ironic.
Yes.
You know better than I do.
Well, but Piss Bottle Man.
That's a little different. Now, I got that from a band in England, right? The Who, Pete Townsend. He had a song called Pictures of Lily. And and basically, what I gather, the plot is his father helps him out with the girly magazine. You know how, you know? And so mine was, I kind of used that melody and stuff, but it was about my pop giving me his piss bottle. And, because when we first came to California, we drove from Virginia. And so... you know, hey, Pop, I got to pay. Yeah, another 100 miles, tie a knot and shit, you know, and fucking the suffering. You know, what, I was like eight years old, you know, and then when I graduated high school, he wants me to spend 2 weeks in his little Toyota camper truck up where he retired from the Navy at Fresno, right? The Yosemite is right near there. So we're driving up there, and he's got a piss, and of course he ain't going to pull over, but he reaches under the seat and he pulls out this bottle. And, you know, puts it to work. And I go, where the fuck was that thing 10 years ago? And then this was a father-son moment. He hands me the bottle. And also that song is intense, too, because I actually showed it to Edward as potential fire hose. And because I come from Minuteman with D. Boone. I grew up with him with music, so I could play him anything. And I wouldn't even have to teach him, right? He'd come over the part of the shit. So Edward says to me, Michael, you think that's a good song, the right song for this band? And that's what got me thinking about maybe I should have different bands for different tunes. I never thought that way before, but that's what led to the experiment record for what? Ball Hog or Tugboat.
Well, that's crazy, man, because...
it's always trippy things. So not everything's predictable, right, to lead you on the path that gets you to where you are now.
Well, but that has kind of led me onto the path that I'm on now.
I think a lot of us humans share that kind of stuff.
Totally. But your idea for this battle royal for the album Ball Hog... I totally thought, man, I'd love to do that one day.
Well, kind of a battle royal. Yeah, I used the wrestling ring as a metaphor for the studio. But the actual idea in my mind, and I didn't really explain this to people, but I thought if the bass player knew the song, that anybody could come play drums, guitar, sing. So, you know, that's the story behind the title. Is the bass going to be a Bog and Bogart? Or is it going to be the Tugboat in Aiden to Bet? Okay.
Incredible, man.
And not just having a theory, like, put it, you know, it's actually not a solo record. There's 48 other dudes with me. It's actually 17 different bands. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Brilliant, man. I completely wanted to do the same thing in a different way, but kind of, I didn't know how either at the time, but I just always thought one day I'd love to work like that. And as you were saying about file sharing, because of that nowadays, I'm totally able to do that with people in other countries and stuff. It's amazing.
Oh, via the internet, right? Right. Okay, I got some more Dillard Killers. Third person shitter.
We'll be right back.
There was a man who worked as a caretaker at the same place I once did. We'd sign in at the same office in the morning before making our way to the respective patches at which we worked. I'll call him Charles. I got a phone call from my buddy one day, and he says, "Have you heard about Charles? Turn on the telly. He's been all over the news." It turned out no one really knew who Charles was, as he had been living under 7 different aliases, claiming benefits through multiple addresses, and even working multiple caretaker jobs. He would sign in at one office before skipping to another. No one was ever the wiser. Charles had yet another identity, that of a people trafficking voodoo wizard. Charles was part of a ring of people traffickers, along with 3 other men based in Nigeria, who used voodoo as a fear tactic. The group singled out 2 vulnerable teenage girls from an impoverished area, where the belief in the effects of witchcraft and voodoo were very strong, and manipulated them away from what were already bleak family circumstances into their nasty hands. The eldest of the girls was subjected to a ritual that involved having all of her body hair cut off. Then she was slashed with razor blades, and her blood collected and poured into a coffin. She was then tied up and placed into a second coffin, still bleeding. The girls were also made to eat raw, just slaughtered chicken hearts as part of rituals to bind them to one of the men who was posing as some sort of juju priest. Both were of the belief that the priest could enter their souls and their thoughts and was able to kill them in their sleep. They ended up being shipped to London to Charles, the wizard, who kept them prisoner in one of his flats. He starved, bound, tortured, and raped both girls, as well as repeatedly threatening their lives. His next plan for them was to have them sold into brothels in either Germany or Greece. Thankfully, the police caught up with him before that could happen. In the end, the judge gave Charles 2 decades behind bars. They never did manage to conclusively prove who he really was or where he really came from.
From Pedro Show, started that chunk of music off with Levo and the Diller Killers. Third Person Shitter. Then Scotty Irvin with his Clan Quartet, Part 1 of 2, live at the Tulsa Noise Fest. That is Scotty in North Carolina. Mama Leak, their new record, My Body Rock Long Forever. My Body Rock Long Forever, that's a title. That's an image also. And then Levo featured John Amplis again. Have you heard about Charles? Probably should have a question mark there. Explain your collab with John Amplis.
Sure. It started when George Romero died, the filmmaker.
Sure. Night of the Living Dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Scary fucking movie.
He made 3 films that had a real kind of effect on me, probably hit me at age 14, about the same time, funny enough, that I heard Firehose and the Minutemen for the same time. Around 1989, 1990, I discovered Dawn of the Dead, Martin and Knight Riders, and kind of there's kind of little subtexts in those films that kind of in a weird way kind of shaped my philosophies on things. It's weird where you grab inspiration from, I guess.
Oh yeah, piss bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was an important thing in a way, even though it's like that sounds insane. That was really me, my pop. You know, he was a sailor and always gone with the Vietnam War and stuff. He's a machinist making engine rooms. So they have had like these 8-9 month tours. And so we're all catching up. And I'm a grown man by this time, you know, but thinking back on that. Same thing with the postcards I started saying. He didn't know I made a living at music. And he said, man, you're like a sailor. And that's where I got the idea for the first opera. We were going up to the boss, Donnie Einer, there at Columbia. Tell me what I want to hear. And I want to make an opera about three guys in a boat. He said, do it. And, you know, I couldn't believe that, but he did. He did. Amazing. We're at the end of the second hour. We'll talk more about your inspiration, Lee. But December 1, 2021, this Wapito Show special guest, Leevil. Hold tight, three. December 1, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
cause the wind goes down.
Thank you.
the afternoon, not even a full moon. I was headed to a building with a dustpan and a broom. Just about to get started with the rest of my rota, I felt my attention drawn to a near parked-up motor. As a young dude stooped down on the deck, I looked a little suspect, so I did a double check. He was on all fours, foaming at the jaw. He seemed to have symptoms that you couldn't ignore. He was a werewolf. He was a werewolf. We'll be right back.
3 weeks.
Where's his nails?
He wasn't covered in hair like in the movies I saw. He had no fangs, nor did he have claws.
Where's his nails?
But he bounded on his hands and feet supernaturally. He was changing directions most erratically. He chased a bunch of kids about his own age. They had to climb up a wall to get away from his rage. Then, as soon as he appeared, he decided to go. From where he really came, I never got to know. From where he really came, I never got to know.
Look at him, dog. 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 Look at him, dog.
Wofford Pedro Show start off the third hour with Shitlip featuring Leevil, Baby on a Bus. Then Thankful to Be With You from Crane, up in Idaho. Just Joy, Bless Your Name. And then finally, Leevil featuring John Aplis with Werewolf. And people, I just remembered Brother Leevil turning me on to this stuff with the spoken word and then him adding on to it. And this is with the John Aplis connect. But look, talk more about the stuff that inspires you. And also, sure. I'm kind of ignorant to the Shitlip project.
Sure. Well, Shitlip is a guy based in Oxford that plays a lot of shows down in Bristol where there's a really kicking dance music scene going on.
Well, Pop Group is from Bristol. I know that.
Right. Yeah. A Massive Attack as well.
Oh, right. Tricky.
Yes. Yeah. He plays there a lot. I need to get there myself one of these days.
It's right on the border with Wales, right? The river's right there.
Yes. We were just beginning to kind of link up with that stuff before the yucky, spiky thing come round telling us to stay indoors. But, he's
awesome.
Are
you guys getting third shots? A week from yesterday, I'm going to get my third shot.
I'm due to get mine, actually. I need to sort that out.
I think that's the only way we're going to get this thing, man. I can't believe people, that the more, it will mutate more if we don't fucking really get on it. God damn.
Yeah.
What's going to do, thinking or shooting up with chlorine? Give me a break. Anyway, back to Shitlip.
So Shitlip is doing loads of stuff at the moment. I'll get some stuff sent over if you like.
Yeah, please.
It was kind of a similar thing. He saw me play at a show and kind of, you know, came and said, "Oh man, I'd really like you to just put some vocals on something." So it was kind of the same as when I asked you, Mike.
Right.
And with this age that we're in, it happened the same with John too, because of the thing with Romero. I just thought, right, I want to work with some of these Pittsburgh guys, because they were a filmmaking group that were kind of pretty punk rock, really. They were kind of self-contained, and they were making these films that were massive hits without Hollywood.
There's a horror movie writer named Mike Watt who lives in Pittsburgh.
I've seen him on some
okay some horror, and he's really nice guy. He's written me a few times. He knows about my music. He's a little bit younger than me, but he's very cool people.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
I don't know if we're related or anything. Maybe way back over in Scotland with the Watt name, you know. I found out, my sister found out, the Watt name was Ulster Scott. Like, England put some Scott guys in Ireland, and it got too heavy, so they built the U.S. about 200 years ago or something. Yeah, it's trippy, consequences of certain things, you know.
Yeah. Too much booze going on.
Yeah. The last show, right, I quoted Giuseppe Garibaldi, right? Bacchus has drowned more sailors than Neptune. another collab with John Aplis here, a Shit Alley. Let's listen.
One of the worst patches that I ever worked on was this real hellhole in a particularly, shall we say, irreparable part of East End. It really shouldn't have been difficult at all. There was just a small block of two flats. They were situated above the entrance to a small dead-end car park in a place that never fully got sunshine, behind some shops in High Street. The car park and flats were mine to clean. And it shouldn't have been a chore to get the job done. However, there were several excessively off-putting factors. that made my effort somewhat irrelevant. I called it Shit Alley. Oftentimes, I'd be there picking litter or giving a little sweep, and some incredibly mixed-up zombie of variable age and sex would wander right up 10 feet from where I was cleaning, drop trow, and proceed to take a big old crap on the pavement, as if I didn't exist. Keeping the floor clean was impossible. Every day of the week, there were needles and crack bong bottles, condoms and tampons, various types of booze container, freshly made chudner, the odd dead rat, and as many cigarette butts as there are stars in the universe. There were a cluster of 8 sheds at the far side of the car park, originally intended for the residents that lived in and above the shops. But they had been turned out and burned out so many times that the people didn't bother to use them anymore. The sheds, or rather the charred remains of them, became little shooting galleries. They were so full of needles that I refused to go in them even with the right personal protective equipment. Inside the block, things weren't any better. On the first level lived a nice lady who seemed normal enough. And on the second floor lived a guy in his early 50s who had some kind of mental health issues. The poor guy and his home had been made the target of a local crack dealing gang, who basically muscled their way into his flat and took it over. They were a nasty bunch. He would get run out of his place whenever they wanted to use it, and he was terrified to tell anybody. I'd enter into the small block through the front door, and all of his clothes and household stuff would be thrown down all the 4 flights of stairs, which you'd climb with a somewhat heightened sense of trepidation. Upon ascension to the top floor, most of the time, the door to the flat itself would be lying on the landing. It would always be slightly worrying to think that anyone at all could be in there. And from what I could see into the hallway of the flat, it had been smashed to bits. I would sometimes be cleaning in the block, and someone would be outside, buzzing and banging the door, trying to see if there was anyone in there to score off of. Because I wouldn't ever let them in. They'd start banging and kicking the door, shouting threats and abuse. I'd just walk upstairs till I was out of view and wait for them to give up and try somewhere else. Thankfully, they always did. That said, though, some asshole making pistol gestures to you with his fingers at the glass door whilst you're trying to finish a floor that you can see your reflection in, it is not something that was necessarily in the job description. One day, I arrived on site to find that the car park had been covered in police tape. The night before, something had gone bad in the flat, and a man was badly beaten and thrown out of the second floor window. It's always a downer having to clean up a puddle and sometimes blood, or sweep up some poor bastard's teeth. In this case, I'd heard that the guy who went out of the window later died. As for the unfortunate lady who lived on the first floor, well, she had a boyfriend, but he was overseas in the army. So she was all on her own in the middle of all of this insanity. When When she gave a statement to the police about what she'd heard the night of the window incident, the copper that was there taking it down made her an offer. He declared that the police would not be able to do a great deal to solve the problems on the block because of a lack of witnesses to the event, but that he, if she fancied going out for a good time with him, he'd have the police sort it all out in a click of his fingers. Real nice of him. Sadly, for the fine upstanding lawman, the lady on the first floor had no intention of having any kind of good time with him. So sadly for her, and myself to a lesser extent, there would be no resolution forthcoming. It has to be said that I did not miss Shit Alley when my tenure there came to an end. The only way you'll get it clean is with a gigantic fucking wrecking ball.
Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. The chunk started off with Leavell featuring John Appolis with Shed Alley. And then we had the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra and Tra La La Band. It's the name. American Motor over Smoldered Field. These guys are from Montreal Cats. Leavell and the Dilla Killers finally with Song for the Black Heart. Where were these things? This is the venue, the club they did the benefit for. Where did you record this stuff? At a prac pad?
Yes. Yeah, that's the rehearsal tape. I figured, well, seeing as the band's now the former band, it would be cool to go out on the What From Pivo show. Yeah, yeah. We all love you, man. So it's that's a fucking cool destination to end up.
Well, that's big love back. You know, the guy whose cherry gig it was, right, the guy who first got into music, how did he do? Was he scared?
He was shitting his pants, man.
Shitting a pecan log, right?
He came through really well, though, and he loved it. So you know, we'll do some more stuff.
I recorded the first opera with Nels Klein and Steve Hodges, and Hodge said to me, I've told them right at the get-go, right? I'm scared. And Hutch said, look, Bart, being a little bit scared is like being a little bit excited. I said, okay.
It's true. I mean, I was kind of petrified, too, because it was playing a lot of songs that were written on samplers and stuff.
Trying to turn, but also
promoting the night and making sure all the bands were happy, you know, running all the stage shit and...
Sometimes I don't know why, but people at Benefits will try to take advantage in Bogart and fucking, you know, everything gets off schedule and stuff. Man, a benefit means you got to keep that in focus. It's not about the band's playing's benefit. It's for the... Yeah, I've run into that before. But anyway, I'm so glad it was a success and stuff. And now what you got going now with your music?
So now, having just finished this album, John said that he will do some more stuff. I think we'll knock up a sequel to this. I've got a load of stories, a load of filthy, dirty stories, to send his way.
I love that. Then, filthy, dirty. That's like assless chaps, right? What's the other guy?
I want to write some really short songs. Werewolf that you played earlier, that song took 18 months to put together because there were so many people on it.
Yeah.
And different things like Hiori's on there.
Yeah.
Your number one merch lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're thinking about that, making your collabs like more open ended, bigger, more cats, more components.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun. And when you're working on your own, it's so much fun to have kind of other people's voices.
Absolutely. Right.
It adds spice to it. It makes it different. So
sure, it's almost like cooking with different ingredients, right? Spices and
yeah, exactly. And the kind of quality of the recordings is irrelevant. Right. You know, half of the vocals on it were done on mobile phones. It's just get it on there and stick it all together and see what happens.
I played on this show. A cat in Tel Aviv, Barry Burko, man, he made a whole album on a leash with all virtual instruments.
Crazy.
I know, but, you know, why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can. You know, if we got the opportunity, right, the O word, instead of everything being the B word burden.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's bitches. So you're looking at more stuff like that. Okay. So in a definitely way, so, kind of conductor, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like a conductor guy. Not just on a train, but like with a symphony.
Yes, yeah, I kind of see it that way. Since the lockdown, I've worked on I'll never bring another mobile phone to a gig. I'm going to bring the hardware out and kind of, you know, it sounds a lot louder. I've just kind of rejigged the way that I perform and kind of now wrestling between two samplers and this Arturia mini brute thing that provides the bass, the glue.
Yeah.
It works nicely. At the same time, I really enjoyed doing the band as well. So I don't know, maybe put another band together for Mischief Night. We've got the Black Heart again in November.
Yeah.
Next year. Right. So yeah, maybe we'll have the same destination for a different band.
Yeah, yeah, but in the meantime, you can do this man alone stuff too with the.
I don't want to stop.
I think it's great you're taking turns with the different ways of, you know, expressing yourself musically, Brother Lebel.
Thanks, Mike. I think it's important not to, you know, you can. It's much like yourself. You bounce around and. You do more different things than anyone I've ever known, but that's, you know, I kind of try to follow along like that, man, and just bounce it around in my own way and see what comes out in, you know, what comes out the anus.
In the indoor, out the outdoor. Well, look, when you do, please bring it, come back on the show. Invites open, Brother Lebel.
Thanks so much, Mike. Yeah. I love the show. Keep it coming, man.
Will do. Will do. People, December 1, 2021 edition of Wapitos. You've got to keep your power.